Fab. So what does this obscure passage from the Old Testament have anything to do with our lives today? A bizarre passage where someone starts wrestling with someone else, someone gets injured, and it changes their life in some way. This bizarre message. But I want to start by asking you probably one of the hardest questions that comes out of this passage, and it's this. Do you know the answer to this question? Some of you are looking completely blank at me, which means have concerns. Trick question. What's your name? Literally, what is your name? And in this passage, Jacob is asked this question. What is your name? As we think about a dedication service, we're thinking about what is Megan's name? Now, me and Hannah have got the joy of being sent constantly photographs of Megan doing the weirdest faces, the funniest things, and it brightens up our day in no end. And Megan... So if you're having a day where you're feeling a bit down, just get a picture of Megan, because she makes the best faces ever. But Megan, I'm sure Sam and Esther probably know what Megan means, but for those of you who don't know, it means pearl. That's kind of one of its main meanings. But it also means child of light, strong and capable. What a great name to give a child. Saying that you are precious, you are a child of the light, that you are strong and you are capable. Yes, you are, as you chew beautifully on that toy. Fantastic. So what is your name? So in this passage, we meet Jacob. Jacob's story is an interesting one. He is a twin. His brother is called Esau. And when they're born, Esau comes first and Jacob comes second. And Jacob, it says in the story, comes clambering on, grabbing onto the foot of Esau. So they call him Jacob, and Jacob means, it means kind of one who holds on to, one who grabs hold of. And so his whole life is called, effectively, grabber. You're someone who grabs onto whatever you can find. You grab onto it. And as you look at the story of Jacob, what you find is this is true. Whatever he finds, he wrestles with. Whatever happens in his life, he grabs on and he wrestles. He's desperate in his life to try and find purpose and meaning. And what happens is, in some of the stories before this passage we read today, you get a chance to read it. You get these stories where Jacob, one day, so he's the younger brother, and in that culture, you'd have a birthright, which meant if you were the eldest son, you'd inherit a certain portion, a larger portion than your other siblings. And so what happens is, one day, Esau's gone out hunting, and he comes back, and he's absolutely starving. Now, Jacob goes, I know what I'll do. I'll make a really delicious stew, and when Esau comes back hungry, what I'll do is I'll trade him his birthright for this stew, which is what happens. Esau comes back, he's absolutely famished, and he says, oh, give me some of that stew. Jacob says, you can have some of this stew if you give me your birthright. And Esau goes, I'm so hungry, just give it to me. Yes, you can have it. And he kind of gets tricked into giving up his birthright to Jacob. But then there's another story that goes on a bit later. Having already tricked his brother out of his birthright, in that culture as well, you'd also have your father's blessing, that when the father, the patriarch of the family, got to a certain age, he would pass on his blessing, kind of saying, all that is mine, all the authority, kind of all the things that I own, become the responsibility of this sibling now. And he would bless them and pass this on. And what happens, it says in the Bible that Esau's really hairy. And it says that Jacob's not very hairy. And what happens is, their father has got bad eyesight. And what Jacob does, he covers himself in animal hair to make himself appear hairy. And when he goes to see his father thinks he's Esau and blesses Jacob rather than Esau. And yet again, Jacob has managed to somehow grab onto not only the birthright, but also the blessing of his dad. Esau is pretty furious, as you can imagine. He's been robbed out of not only his birthright, but also the blessing of his father. Jacob then runs away in some of this story. And again, what we see is he goes and works with his uncle Laban, and he meets the girl of his dreams. Ooh la la, he meets Rachel, and he is besotted. But Laban says, you can marry my daughter if you work for 7 years. Now Jacob is like, whatever I want, I'm going to grab hold of this, and I'll do whatever it takes to get. And so he works 7 years to be able to marry Rachel. Laban then tricks him, and on the wedding night, he discovers actually he's not lying with Rachel, he's actually lying with her sister. And Laban's tricked him. So he says, I'll work for another 7 years to get hold of Rachel, the woman that I love. Jacob is someone who grabs after whatever he can. He is desperately striving for purpose and meaning in his life. His whole identity is shaped by his name. People have said to him, you're a grabber. You're someone who grabs after stuff. And that's what he does. What he's been told that he is what he ends up being. He grabs after whatever he can find. And ultimately, the things that he's wrestling with, the things that he's grabbing after... I know it's a bit boring, isn't it, Megan? The things that he's grabbing after are the things that we are all seeking for. We're all looking for certain things in our life. We're all looking for significance. We're all looking for security. And we're all looking for acceptance. And we find this in different ways. And some of us, like Jacob, we grab after wherever we can find those things. In our workplace, we try and strive to become known and respected and significant in our workplace. Or maybe it's in our family group. There are certain things. If you do this, then you're the best child. We are all striving after significance. We're all looking for security. We're all wondering, where can we find some sense of security in our lives? We're all looking for that. And we're all looking to be accepted by people. And Jacob is no different. He is wrestling and striving and desperately looking for these things. Looking for his father's blessing, to be known and accepted, to become significant. He's after the birthright again to find that acceptance of who he can be. He grabs after whatever he can find. He wrestles with all these things. And in the story, what we find is Jacob starts wrestling with this man. It's a really random story. No one really quite understands it. But Jacob starts wrestling with this man. And at the beginning of the story, he's wrestling with a man. And at the end of the story, he says, I have seen the face of God. See, and what he realizes in this moment is that he spent his whole life wrestling with people. Wrestling to find significance, security, and acceptance amongst people. But what he discovers in this wrestling match with God is that he thought he was wrestling with people, but actually he was wrestling with the bigger questions of his life. It wasn't his boss, it wasn't his family member, it wasn't his partner. Actually, what he was wrestling with was bigger questions about who he was. And in this story, he wrestles with initially with man, and he realizes that actually the questions he needs to be wrestling with are the bigger questions of his life. Who is he? What's his life about? And his encounter with God, as he realizes that he's not wrestling with God, but he's wrestling with man. This question is asked, what is your name? Who are you? And as you go through life, you're going to have those moments where actually in your striving for significant security and acceptance, you're going to ask a question going, who am I? What's my life about? What's the purpose of my existence? Why am I here? Effectively, what's your story? What's your name? And as Jacob wrestles with God, and he's asked the question, what is your name? In that wrestling match, God says, I give you a new name. Your name has been Jacob, meaning one like a trickster, a wrestler, someone who grapples with, so he's grabbing after things always. It's basically a derogatory term that he's been given. And God says, I don't call you Jacob, one who strives after things in life. I give you a new name called Israel, which means to strive after God. It means to wrestle with God and to overcome. It means you spent your whole life striving, but the good news story of this message is that actually, if you choose to engage with the big question of your life as to who you are, what you can discover actually is what you've been wrestling for, you can find that in God. And God says, I strive for you. It's not you striving to find these things. You can have them right now, and I will strive for you. I will be part of your journey and your life. And you can know that I am with you in your life. You're not on your own searching for the answer to these questions, that you are with a God who cares about you and loves you and wants to be part of your life. And he says, I will strive with you. I will strive for you. If you're engaging those questions of encounter. Jacob was prepared to have a moment where he's prepared to wrestle with the big questions of life and the big questions of who is this God. And in the story, he makes space to have this wrestling match with God, effectively. He says, I'm going to spend some time. And it says in the story, he won't let go until he's blessed. He won't let go until something's changed in his life. He won't let go until he knows the answers. Is this God real? Is this God true? Can I truly trust that this is the story that I can be part of? He is desperate to wrestle with it and not let go until he finds and discovers for himself what it means in his life. And if you look at the story of Jacob before this encounter, he always refers to God as the God of my father, Abraham, and Isaac. He always says, he prays, he's got an understanding of who God is. He prays, he says, the God of Abraham and Isaac. And yet after this encounter, he sets up a monument to God. He says, this monument is to the God of Israel, his new name, to my God, the God that I now know personally. It's not someone else's God that I know about. This is a personal God that I know for me. This is about my relationship with my God. He's wrestled, he's sought for the answers, and he's discovered them for himself. And he wasn't happy with sort of easy answers. He wanted to wrestle and tussle with and work out what was going on in his life. And in that moment, God turns his weakness into his strength. That the weakness that everyone has said about him, that you're someone who always grabs after stuff, you always take what's not yours, you always trick people out of things. His desire to get something becomes his greatest strength when he wrestles with God. Because when he wrestles with God and he won't let go, suddenly it becomes his greatest strength. And Jacob becomes Israel. And Israel becomes the father of many nations, the father of Israel, the nation, the people. Even though Abraham and Isaac are part of the ancestry, it is Jacob who is the person who the whole nation is named after. Because he was prepared to strive and meet God face to face. He had this personal encounter with God. And the thing about Christianity is it's not about a God who's somewhere far off. That God of other people who pray. It's a God for you who you can meet and encounter right here, right now, today. God wants to know you in your life. He wants to say, stop your striving for the things that you're striving for in your life, and that actually, if you bring your life to me, I will wrestle for you. I will strive with you. Your life can be different. It can be changed when there's the personal encounter with God. Jacob goes from just knowing of this God, praying tentatively to this God, suddenly going, this is my God, this is my story, this is my life. And out of this encounter, there are three things that come out of this encounter. He comes out blessed. To bless means to speak well of. He comes out blessed. What that means is that he's saying, I am known by God. God knows me individually. He's not too busy running the universe to stop and take note of me. He comes away blessed, which means he understands that he is significant and secure and accepted because of who God is, not because of what he has to do. He is blessed. And when you meet God for yourself, you start understanding that actually you can find your significance not in your workplace or in your family position or in money or in other things, but actually you can find your significance in being you, the person that God made you to be. You can find security in being satisfied with going, I am loved because I am me, as God made me. I haven't got to try and change who I am. I can be me. You find acceptance of going, actually, I don't have to strive for all these things I need to be. I don't need to dress a certain way. I don't have to have a certain car. I don't have to have a certain job. It's going, I can just be me. You see, personal encounter with God, it transforms your life by giving you the freedom to be you, to be the person that God always made you to be. You get to be you. So he comes away blessed, knowing that he is enough as he is. He's loved by God as he is. But then he also gets a name change. He's given identity and a new significance. He says, you are invited into a personal relationship with God. His name means one who is in relationship with God, who wrestles with God, who strives with God. And the Christian story is you can have a personal relationship with God. You are invited into a relationship with the God who created everything. Not just as some sort of subject in the corner, but actually being able to converse with a God who loves you. You can be part of a relationship with him, and you become part of a different story. The story of your life changes to being, actually, I am loved. I am known. And you can live your life in view of that identity. Not to try to find it somewhere else, but you find it actually in a personal relationship with God, which means actually you can be the most you were ever made to be. So he finds his story not in himself, not in someone else's God, but in his own God, a personal encounter with a God who changes his life and shapes his future story. And lastly, he is changed. There's this weird thing in the story, which no one really quite gets, where the person he's wrestling with, who ends up being God, touches his hip and it puts his hip out of joint. And for the rest of his life, he walks with a limp. Bizarre story. But what happens when you have a personal encounter with God, when you start knowing who you are in him, is it will change the way you walk for the rest of your life. It will change how you live your life. See, for him, the impact of that one encounter changed the way he walked for the rest of his life. And we see that in the story, because later on in this story, he goes to meet his brother, who he's fallen out with from years ago. And what he decides to do is try to butter up his brother, is he sends all of his wealth, all his possessions ahead of him, as an offering to his brother to try and make peace with him before he gets there. Try to butter him up. And when he meets his brother goes, you know what, I'm over this. Don't worry about it, have it all back. And Jacob says, no, you keep it. And Esau goes, no, you have it back. And Jacob goes, no, you have it. Now, I think if we met Jacob before this story, he'd have gone, have it back, all right then, I'll have it all back then. But he doesn't. And you see that his encounter has changed the way that he walks in the rest of his life. And later on, there's other stories where when people trick and deceive, when his son's do a story of tricking and deceiving, he is horrified and mortified that people didn't keep their word. That's not the Jacob we meet earlier on in the story. But he's had this encounter with God that's changed the way he walks for the rest of his life. And it's in that place of brokenness that there's a realness that allows our life to be transformed. And that's the story of the Christian message. A God who is broken on our behalf for our lives to be transformed and changed so we can live differently. And the Christian story is this. We are made by a God who loves us. We all choose to be a bit of a duck of Jacob and think we can do a better job of getting whole significance, security, and acceptance. So we go our own way. We do our own thing. But actually in doing that process, we put a distance between us and God. And God is holy and just, and we're not. So we can't approach him. And so the Bible teaches that Jesus comes into the world, who is God, becomes man, lives a perfect life, shows us how to live, how to walk, how to have that personal encounter with God like Jacob did. But then also what he did, he died on the cross for our sins, for all the things that we've done against God, the way we've gone our own way. He deals with that so God doesn't hold any shame against you, God doesn't hold any condemnation against you. And you can be known and loved by God who says, that's dealt with at the cross. And you can have new life in Jesus. Brokenness leads to life. And actually, when you sit there thinking, I feel broken. I'm not good enough for other people, for God. It's that very brokenness that makes you, you. And for Jacob made Jacob him. And it was in that place of saying, actually, this is part of my story. I embrace this and I walk with it. The change of brokenness allows new life. So he is blessed, he is named, and he is changed. So a few questions for you this morning. What are you wrestling with? Whether you're a Christian here this morning or not, it's still a question that you need to be thinking about. What are you wrestling with this morning? In your life, what's the big concern of your life? What's the thing that's most concerning you? Worrying you? Thinking about? Considering? What are you wrestling with? What's the big question you're wrestling with this morning? For you this morning, maybe you've heard of this God. Maybe you kind of like the idea of a God, but you're not quite sure where it's at. Is God someone else's God, or is God your God? Have you made that personal for you? Or is God still a concept of something far off, but actually it's not quite true for you? It's a God of my friends, or it's a God of someone I know, but it's not my God. It can be your God in a personal relationship. Is your relationship and encounter with God impacting every step you take? Particularly if you've been a Christian a long time in the room, it's really easy to go, yeah, I know the message of the Christian faith, but actually after a while it stops affecting how we live our life. We get used to doing certain things a certain way and we go, well, I'm fairly good. But actually being mindful for Jacob, every time he walked, every step probably hurt. He was mindful of every step. In your Christian walk, are you mindful of God in every step, in the decisions that you make, in the way that you choose to act and behave, in the character that you choose to show to the world? Is God actually part of every step of your life, or just occasionally when it suits you? Often when we panic and we have that quick moment of going, oh, God, help! But actually in every step, is your relationship impacting every step of your life? And lastly, will you make space to encounter God? Because all of us need opportunities to make space to ask those big questions of our life again and again, to have that personal encounter with God. But will you make space for it? Will you make space to encounter God? And more importantly, will you make space to encounter God and not let go until you've met him? Because it's so easy to go, oh, I tried that, it didn't really work. But for Jacob, he was going to go, I am going to try this, and I'm going to wrestle with this until I've met God. Until I know what this is about. Until I really understand this. The Bible says, seek and you will find. And I totally believe that. That if you seek after something, you will find. So, what are you wrestling with? Is God your God or someone else's? Is your relationship encounter with God impacting every step you take? Will you make space for God to encounter you? I was going to give us just a few moments just to be still and think about those questions up on the screen just for a moment. Is there one on there that actually is relevant for you this morning? Whether you're a Christian or not a Christian, those questions still have value in our life to ask. Maybe there's one question there that jumps out at you more than another one. And so my challenge for you this week is this. This week, will you make space to encounter God and not let go until you do? Particularly if you're a Christian in the room, it's really easy to go, oh, I've had a bit of a quiet time, read my Bible, did a bit of praying. But will you make space this week to say, I am going to spend time waiting to encounter God and not let go until I meet him? If you're not a Christian in the room, the same challenge can apply. Do you want answers to some of life's big questions? I'm not here to try and persuade you to be a Christian, or think it's a great thing to do. But I am here to say to you, there's a bigger story that you can find your significance, your security and acceptance in other places. And actually when you do that, you are so free and you know that you are so loved. But will you make space this week to either encounter God or for you just to think about one of those previous questions? Take some time to really wrestle with the thing that's challenging you in your life right now, a thing that you need to really think about right now. So will you this week not make some time for God, but will you make time for an encounter with God and not let go until you've met him and there's been a moment of transformation.